Let's begin with prayer. Lord, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, thank you for bringing us together to study what you have spoken to us. It's mind-boggling, Lord, that you would give us your word. Please guide us as we take a look at how powerful your word is today. Continue to bless our study of this class so we can grow closer to you and refresh ourselves in these truths. We ask this in Jesus, our Savior's name. Amen. All right, lesson one, what are we talking about? What's that?
Who God
is. Yeah, who God is and how we know. So how do we know by nature? There's a natural knowledge of God, and there's a revealed knowledge. How do we know by nature? To see. So I have a couple of you going like this. I'm not sure
what the C word is.
Creation.
Yeah, you take a look at creation, you can see that there's something that built this, that created this. What do you see in creation that tells you about who that God is?
Perfection.
Okay, so you can see there's a perfection that's there, and we talk about that at the standard here, and we'll talk about that next too.
Order,
so very orderly, so there's a perfect order to everything. What else?
Design,
okay, what do you learn from him, about him? From that?
Well, it had to start somewhere.
Okay, it had to start somewhere, so the fact that there is a creator, but what kind of design is it? Is it like Brock's first grade picture that he could paint?
I don't know. What was Brock's first grade?
Really bad. Really poor design.
Look at butterfly. The wings, how everything was made.
Okay, so everything is made. You can see that God is very smart, very intelligent, much more intelligent than first grade Brock.
Yeah.
You also see all powerful. We get a lot of these awesome attributes that we can just tell simply by nature. But what's the other part of nature? Natural knowledge of God. The other C.
Conscience.
Yeah, the conscience reads the law written on our hearts. So that law tells us that we have a perfect God. That we are not perfect, we don't meet that standard. And so there's something that has to get revealed though, because that only reveals that we fall short. What reveals our Savior? The revealed knowledge of God is in the Bible, right? So that's why we prize this thing, we love it. We're going to take a closer look today at why we prize the Word of God. Because we'll see what the Word of God does and what it reveals about that Creator, that one who has put that perfect standard in our hearts. So go to lesson two. God the Father created and cares for His world. A creed is a statement of belief. We have three main creeds. You have written down there for you already?
Yeah.
Apostles, Nicene, and? Anybody want to?
Athanasian.
Well done. Your foolish pastor before he went on vacation and planned out the worship for today forgot to put in the Athanasian Creed for Trinity Sunday. So forgive me for that. But the reason we only do this one once per year.
Long.
Sometimes it is super long. Yeah, some churches will do one section of it. Some churches will not do it. It's very long. We don't get to do it in the second service. So forgive me. However, the Nicene Creed, same truths. The Apostles' Creed is a statement of belief about God that human being. All these creeds are human beings that have created these, right? But they reflect these biblical truths. The Apostles' Creed started out as a baptismal creed. So when you, in the early church, were going to be baptized, you would stand in front of a congregation and you would say this creed. Or they would say, "Do you believe?" And they would say, "Yes, I do." And that way everybody knew that, yes, this person believes the same things as we do. And that eventually became known as the Apostles' Creed. It doesn't mean they wrote it.
just simply that it reflects their teachings. The Nicene Creed came at a really interesting period of history for the Christian church, at the Council of Nicaea is when it was first drafted. The next council refined some things, but there were four big councils that helped develop and uphold the Nicene Creed. And then later on, when we needed more things explained about the Trinity, like we're celebrating today, the Athanasian Creed was developed. I don't know how you explain the Trinity, but the Athanasian Creed does a pretty good job. If you get a chance to read through that, that's on, I think, page 132 or something in your hymnal at home, or there might be hymnals here that you can take a look. But all of these things are reflecting the same God that we celebrate in Genesis 1 and 2. So flip open your Bibles if you've got the Genesis 1 and 2. Ecumenical, which means the whole church. So all Christians confess these truths and these creeds. The whole Christian church throughout the centuries has done that. Yeah, and so Apostles' Creed about 315 originally for the Nicene Creed through to the end of the 4th century. The Athanasian Creed, I think, is a little bit after that. I have to check the date on that one. But yeah, so more than 1,000 years before Luther. Good question.
The thing is that in Apostle Creed and Nicene, the Catholic Church, we believe in one Catholic Church, that we changed here to Apostolic Church. So that is changed only in Lutherans, not in any other churches.
Yeah, Catholic means, little c Catholic, means universal, everything. And so the whole Catholic Church confesses this, so all Christian, the whole Christian Church, because of Catholic nowadays being, you know, comes to mind as the Roman Catholic Church, that was changed, just so for clarity. Good point, yeah. And in the Athanasian Creed, you'll see, like, if you don't believe this, you are condemned, right? So believing in the triune God, very important. Let's take a look at what our triune God did at creation. Genesis 1. Let's go around the room, verse by verse. I'll start with 1. We'll go to Barbara, and then I'll tell you what. We'll go with Joyce, and then we'll snake back. Sound good? Verse by verse. I'll take it over from Jack again, and back to Joyce. Okay. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters.
And God said, let there be light, and there was light.
God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness.
God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day.
And God said, let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water.
So God made the expanse, separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. And so it was so.
God called the vault sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day.
And God said, let the water under the sky be gathered into one place, and let dry ground appear. And it was so.
God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. God said it was good.
And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth. And it was so.
The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good.
There was evening and there was morning on the third day.
And God said, let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years.
And let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so.
God made two great lights, the greater light that governs the day, and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars.
God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth,
to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good.
And evening passed, and morning came, marking the fourth day.
And God said, let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky.
So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living and moving thing with which the water teems, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good.
God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number, and fill the water in the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth.
And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day.
And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so.
God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good.
Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground.
So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created.
God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground.
Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food.
And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food.
So. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day.
Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their best array.
On the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing, so on the seventh day, he rested from all his work.
Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done.
This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created. When the Lord God made the earth and the heavens.
How far are we going?
Two.
Oh. Now no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground.
But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground.
Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being.
But the Lord God warned him, you may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden, except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you eat the fruit, you are sure to die.
And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for the food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
A river watering the garden flowed from Eden. From there, it was separated into four headwaters.
The name of the first is Kishon. It winds through the entire land of Havilah, where there is gold.
The gold of that land is good. Aromatic resin and onyx are also there.
The name of the second river is the Nihon. It winds through the entire land of Cush.
The name of the third river is the Tigris. It runs along the east side of Asher. And the fourth river is Euphrates.
The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work and to take care of it.
And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any fruit in the garden.
But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die.
The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him.
Now, out of the ground the Lord had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. Oh. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name.
The man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him.
So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh.
Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man and brought her to him.
The man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man.
For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh.
Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame.
They were naked and felt no shame. How would you describe creation?
Good.
Pretty good. God says good. Yeah.
Beyond man's comprehension, knowledge.
Why? Okay. Chuck, is your hand raised?
Just a thought that those of us who are old enough remember the Apollo and the Gemini program. When Apollo 8 circled the moon, it's the first time that man had seen the Earth from the moon. And on Christmas Eve was when the astronauts came around. They'd been told to make some commentary, decide for yourself what you're trying to do. And they read across the frequency that the whole world was listening. They read from Genesis 1. Started in the beginning, and they read through quite a few verses of Genesis 1. It was 50 years ago, and it was just so compelling to see the Earth from the moon while they read that on Christmas Eve. And nobody complained. One person in Houston, I think, complained.
One person in Houston.
That was 50 years ago.
Well, looking at creation, obviously it's different now. And we'll talk about that next lesson. But just from creation itself, let's take a look. I think you have four blanks there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Some things that you notice about creation. First of all, where did it come from?
Speaking.
So it was there, God kind of, it was like this mushy clay that God formed it. No, it was from nothing, right? Yeah, it's very clearly, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And there it was. And then, in a sense, it was kind of formless and empty, and so God started forming it from there. But everything was out of nothing. And just like the writer of the Hebrews says, too, we believe that God created all things. We'll take a look at that in a second. How did God create it? So from nothing would be the first blank there for you. How did God create it? Spoken word. Do you ever make the connection that this is the same word? This is the word of God. It's not different. It's the same word that created everything. It's the word that we get to read. It's the word that we as a treasure that gets that creates life in us and helps us grow. So same word. So by his almighty word he created it. Simply that's it. And how long? In 6 days? All right. How do you know 6 days? Why do you say 6 days? Yeah, that's why we believe it. So it's 6 days. The easiest way to take this as a description, simple, straightforward way, is how do you know it's a day, a 24-hour period that like we would talk about?
Morning
and evening. Yeah, morning and evening. Yeah, and there was evening, and there was morning, the first day, the second day, and so on and so forth. So, well, we'll talk about that in a second. But very clearly, if you take it the simple way, it's 6 days. Especially later on when you read in Exodus that creating the week for his people, they're supposed to take a Sabbath day on the seventh. It was also a pattern for his people to come to. And what was everything like?
Good.
Perfect. Yeah, good. Well, it was good, 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 good. And then at the end it was, in Genesis 1:31, God saw that he had made and it was very good. And in God's eyes, what is very good? Oh, super perfect, right? We're talking, this place is awesome. This place is perfect. So everything was perfect. Now this Bible study dives right into that big confrontation that we have with the world these days. And that's evolution. Can somebody read that there? Evolution for me. For all of us. Kelly.
The hypothesis that all things came into being by chance, developing by from nowhere to higher forms.
Yeah, and if you could read the things on the right too.
Atheistic evolution denies the existence of God and credits all to chance. Theistic evolution says God got things started and then went evolution to go.
Yeah, so some people, in its bare form, evolution is simply, they all trace it back to the Big Bang, yeah. And do you know why the Big Bang? Anybody ever?
Because it all of a sudden right here, so.
How do they know? But why did they think that was all one thing?
Expanding universe?
Yeah, pretty much. Things are expanding. The way things are moving out. That's really that forms the heart of the Big Bang theory. There's also some other evidence they bring in. And I say they because obviously we recognize that here, especially at this church, we don't believe that. We believe what the Bible says here. But that's atheistic evolution. Now there are some that try to merge evolution in the Bible, and that's theistic evolution. Why does that not match up? Just first of all, from what we read here in Genesis 1.
Takes power away from God, maybe.
Takes power away from God, that's very true. As if like he couldn't just, right? Yeah, I can see that. What else, Mike?
Well, I mean, we don't discover it in nature. So it doesn't line up with that.
It takes something supernatural, doesn't it? Yeah. And like you said, we can't research it up there. Why?
Because it clearly states 6 days in the Bible.
Yeah, it does clearly say 6 days. And if days can mean like 24-hour period, it can mean daytime, it can mean back in my day, right? The same word in Hebrew has the same leeway like we have in English. But like we talked about, evening, morning. And then even later on, confirm 6 days. And as we'll see later on in Hebrews 11. But even just looking at evolution and creation here in the Bible, why does it not match up? Even just looking at the bare theory plus what the bare words of the Bible says. Did you catch it? Let's go through what's created in each day.
Well, the Bible said these are the animals that he created. They didn't evolve from primordial ooze.
Yeah, so very much according to their kind. God created each one, and there was a design plan, right? Creatures above and in the water and then on the land. There's a great order to it. Very true. All culminating, so that's one reason. It culminates up to, what's the last thing God creates?
Mankind.
With atheistic evolution, what is mankind? Another animal, really, at the highest form. However, we could see in God's plan that mankind was to be crowned. It was all made for him. And we'll talk about that in a little second here, too. But even what was created on day one? Okay, everything, and then?
Light.
Light. Light. Okay, I'll give you my catechism memory hooks. Day one looks like a
candle.
All right. So light was created on day one. Where did that light come from? Where does our light come from? All right, let's keep going. Day one. Day two? Memory hook. Separated.
Water
above and below. Right, so what does that mean? We don't know for sure. What is it, just the rain and cloud systems? Very well could be. Was there a whole different water system back in that day? Because there even talks about it in chapter 2, how things weren't watered with rain. It was watered from below with the stream. So was it something totally different? We don't know. We weren't there. But God created the expanse. That word expanse is like the same word that you would use to, like, when you hammer something out to, like, make a nice, smooth, round vault, as you often hear too. And that's just talking about, right, the heavens as we know them, so the sky. So something around the earth's sky to keep it protected. Separated, all right, day three.
One, right?
Looks like a looks like a tree with branches. That was pretty neat. But so there's a memory hook for that one. Now what's on day four?
Sun,
moon, and stars. Moon and star have how many letters?
Four.
The sun is what? It's a star. So here's your day four. Let's go back to day one.
Light.
Created before the sun and the moon. That doesn't match up with evolution. Whichever way. I even had somebody on my website, understandchristianity.com, just submit a question a couple of weeks ago. What's the explanation for this? How could light be there without the sun? Well, I mean, when you're God, you can create what you want.
In heaven, there
He created created light, and then later on created the thing that would be the source of it for us. So it doesn't match up. Also, we'll talk about next week, what does sin bring eventually?
Mm-hmm.
Sin brings, the wages of sin is
death.
So sin brings death. There was no death when God created things. What's the purpose of evolution? To avoid death, right? Survival of the fittest. And so evolution, in fact, is built upon the idea that death was always there. Again, doesn't match up with creation. So just something to keep in mind. Let's take a look at this chart that you have written there. I just want to make sure. You have all written in? Okay. So you can take a look at creation evolution, the differences, the time, 6 days, evolution, billions of years. The thing I find interesting is that before the theory of evolution, people would say, 6 days? Why did God take that much time? Right? Why didn't he just create it in an instant? But now it's like, 6 days? How can he possibly do all that in 6 days? Do you know where they get the billions of years? Another side note for you. Not carbon. Carbon, you can only go back
10,000.
Reliably, 20,000, 10,000 years. Mm-hmm. Carbon dating is a form of radiometric dating, and that dates the rocks. So whenever you hear millions of years, they're actually dating the rocks. Mm-hmm. This dinosaur is this many millions of years. Why do they think that? Because of a certain layer of rock that it's in, and the sort of order of layers that they believe has been developed over the millions of years. And how long does it take for rock to form under intense pressure? A long time. It has to be buried a long time. Anyway, that's where they get all that. And The universe, 13.7 billion years. They get that by measuring how things are expanding out in the universe. It's nothing to do with here. So they think that the Big Bang was 13.7 billion years. So, billions of years. Method. God's word and decree, as we said, by chance or accident. So really, in general, we're here and all this happened just by chance. Any questions on that?
Not really a question, but Susie got a good point recently. She likes to read a lot of apologetics and stuff like that just to kind of help her in the science world. But she said if, you know, science says we have all these things evolving and we evolved from this to this to this, she said, why don't we still see animals in the midst of an evolution from, you know, a frog to a whatever? You know, animals are perfect as they are, and they're not evolving from one to another. They may evolve traits that make them faster or things like that, but they're not physically changing, and they haven't in thousands of years.
Yeah, so a couple of thoughts there. They would say that just how recent the theory is and how we've been observing it, we wouldn't see that kind of change that quickly. But just so you know, there is a difference between macroevolution and microevolution. Microevolution is adaptation, right? Things adapt to their environment, which is why, according to their kinds, is probably different nowadays than it was back then. There are many more different animals. Doesn't necessarily mean that kinds mean species. I don't want to get into a conversation and all of that, but first of all, that. Second of all, yes, thank you. So macroevolution, that's microevolution. Macroevolution would be the theory of evolution. So keep in mind, microevolution, we understand, and that's how things have developed from the original kinds, too. But macroevolution is the thing that we would reject. Yes, Kelly?
So evolutionists say that we are still evolving? Otherwise, it's pretty egotistical to name that humans are man. Or do they think that we will continue to evolve in something different?
Yeah. I think you see a lot of that. Even as you watch movies, I've noticed lately, a lot of them have evolution, like mankind will evolve into this. I was watching a movie, where was that? Recently, that was talking about, it's a book I'm reading, I'm sorry, Dan Brown, latest book called Origin or something like that. Talking, one guy's theory was that we are still evolving and we haven't yet evolved into what the aliens had planted here on Earth originally. We laugh, but I mean, people, really, another thing I want to say, and this, I should have said this last week too, in this class we're going to be taking a look at a lot of opposing theories and ideas. As a good pastor, I have to do that with you, right, because there's lots of those. It's going to sometimes come off as we're knocking and making fun of and laughing. Guess what? They laugh at us. And there's a whole lot more of them, right? So keep that in mind. Secondly, last week we talked about other religions. People of what we would consider false religions, still very nice people. Very kind, very selfless, very nice. Even people that say they don't have a religion can do some really kind things according to our earthly definition of that. Secondly, this theory of evolution is very intelligent. Okay, this is very logical. The thing that we would disagree with on is the reason it has gotten to this point with evolution is they have dismissed the supernatural. And that's what we disagree with. That's the main issue. Go down back to the chart, man. A special creation, the crown of God's creation, evolution, a superior animal. Man's purpose, and this is one thing I wanted to highlight, to serve and honor God. We'll talk about more than that coming up here. But indeed, mankind was created to serve God. Now, sometimes in our human thinking, our simple thinking, we think like slavery and servitude is like harsh and not serving God is free and it's open. That's what God wanted his people, just something to love. And then he would give them his love, and then they in turn would love him, but then also
the things in each other and the things within their care. They could experience the same kind of joy that he had in caring for something. So serving, honoring God is what our purpose here is. Evolution is to survive, as we talked about, serve self. I would say evolutionists would cringe at that. And they would disagree with us. I think they do, in an earthly way, have a noble purpose. For them, it's to further knowledge and to share that knowledge with future generations. Man's responsibility, then, is similar to that. For evolution, it says none but please self. You can understand some of that. I mean, there is obviously selfishness. But at the same time, I think you read a lot of atheist literature. It's to further knowledge and share that so that future generation can have more and build upon it. So I would say that this is a little trite. Man's responsibility to thank and obey God then for what the Bible says about creation. Any questions on any of that? That's a lot of information that just kind of gets spewed at you right away. In the other Bible information class that we did, remember this is the first time that I've gone through this one. The other one, the first two lessons are sin, grace, faith, works, and then we get into God's Word and the Bible. So, a little different order here. I'm not sure what I think about the order. What are your thoughts? Questions so far?
Just one thought on macro versus micro evolution. You know, we tend to get bigger as we get better fed over the years and such, generations get bigger, but microevolution doesn't create new species. Just, you know, as the Bible says, God created each after his own kind. You don't jump species. You know, that microevolution happens within
a bound, right? Yeah,
within boundaries.
Within a certain bound, yeah, things adapt and there's a variety. And nature understands that. Those who study nature say the same thing. I'll save that for later. Okay. Hebrews 11:3. We're going to have a bunch of verses here coming up, so if you want to grab if you see a verse ahead of time, want to grab that, go ahead. Hebrews 11:3. Does anybody have that ready? Linda, please.
By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible.
So by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. Why do we believe in creation? Because it's logical?
Because God said so.
Well, why does God say so? Why do we care?
Well, I'm not going to argue.
Yeah, we don't want to argue with him, right? But why do we even want to trust in what this Bible says, this book?
I mean, I think you could say it is logical. It perfectly fits the evidence.
Okay, it does. You're right. According to the world standards of logic, is it logical? Just speaking something into existence?
Perfectly fits the evidence. So,
light before the sun, from an earthly perspective, is it logical? No, obviously, though, from a perspective from faith, and that's the key. Why do we believe that this is God's Word?
Faith.
Faith in whom? Faith in God's Word, and what is God's Word all about? Jesus, yeah. The reason we believe this is the Word that tells me about my Savior. By nature, I know that there's a creator God and that I have disappointed him. God has revealed to me that I am saved, and this is everything that happened. These first two chapters, it reveals creation, that's great, but it's an introduction. It's an introduction for the Bible. Chapter 3, and sadly we're going to dive into that next week. Chapter 3 is where it gets really rough. And yet God saved us. And so we believe all this crazy stuff about creation, and guess what? There's going to be a worldwide flood in the Bible. There's going to be lots of crazy miracles in the Bible. Why do we believe all that? We've never seen it. It's by faith. By faith in Jesus. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. So just always remember that creation is not something that we can prove. We just trust it because of Jesus.
God, yes, go ahead.
I've heard it said that those who believe in, I guess, evolution is a dated term, also philosophical naturalism, more current, but that requires faith as well. Is that a fair statement?
Yes.
Because you don't have evidence. There's a lot of missing gaps, whether it's the transition forms in between species or whatever else it might be.
There's always faith, there's always trust, whatever way, it's just who are you trusting here? Right? If somebody says, well, that's silly, you Christian, you believe that God created the world, look at all this evidence, and say, all right, what is it? Tell me what the evidence is. They might be able to tell you one or two things. I had one person say, the flood couldn't possibly have happened because there's no watermarks on the pyramids. Guess why they think the pyramids happened before the flood would have happened? Because of some historian named Manetho, who was an Egyptian historian. He said it was so many, this many years. Guess what? Historians say, okay, we trust him. And so they build that theory upon that. Science says it's this many billions of years. Even though it's riddled with assumptions, so they say this, and so those of us who haven't studied it go, okay, we believe it. So it's always a trust.
Evolution, right? Even 10 years ago, I don't think any 13.7 billion was certainly not the number.
No, it was shorter. Yeah. It was smaller. But there's always a trust, and so I don't find it a coincidence that on the last day, when you're right there with God, he says, do you have eternal life or eternal death? He's going to judge you by your faith. Who did you trust? Did you trust in Jesus or not? Or did you trust them? I don't find that a coincidence. It always comes back to who you trust. And like you said, the evidence, really, you can say it on both sides. Okay. God gave mankind special blessings. The first blessing, Genesis 1:27-28. Can somebody reread those words? Barbara.
So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground.
So who do you think looks more like God? That's his image. Me or Joy?
Choice. Neither, is it?
Neither, yeah. What is the image of God? It's not, boy, God has two eyes, a nose, two ears, a mouth.
Created holy.
Created holy, yeah, holiness. God's image. If you look throughout the Bible, it's that holiness and that righteousness. So we have the image of God. That's a special blessing that we were created in. Sadly, next week we'll talk about how it was lost. Later on we'll talk about how it is renewed. Excuse me, Ephesians 4:24.
Actually, I have a question on verse 26.
Yeah.
Why does it say, then God said, let us make man in our image?
You and I look at it, especially on today, Trinity Sunday, and we see a reflection of the Trinity, right? And God said, let us. It's interesting. It's not proof, like we wouldn't say this is proof that there's a Trinity, but that we see it as evidence, so. You know what I'm saying? Like, we wouldn't say this proves that there's a Trinity, but it reflects that truth. Good catch. We also see that the Spirit of God is hovering over the waters, verse 2, so there's already a reference to something going with God. Ephesians 4:24. Go for it.
And to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness.
So there is the image of God. So that's how it is renewed, created to be like God. You and I have this new self within us that is created to be like that. Genesis 2:18-25. I'm sorry. Genesis 1:27-28. There's another thing that's there. One of the blessings that God gave to mankind, we talk about it, is something to care about, care for. We are to care for the earth, the creation. So we have a responsibility to take care of this creation that God has given us. That was mankind's primary role. and authority over that creation too. Genesis 2, 18 to 25. Where we see blessing in there, we won't read it, read the whole thing again.
Marriage,
yeah, what a blessing that is. For Adam to, what, you see this weird thing where, oh, I'm going to create a helper suitable for Adam. Well, it's bringing all the animals. Like, wait a second. It almost seems like God is saying, all right, time out, let's quick name the animals. What's the whole purpose? Okay, Adam, sit down, name the animals. What would Adam have seen?
Two
elephants, we'll call them tigers, two this, two that. Wait a second. I'm a one. What is that developing now? A desire for a companion. Like, oh, they all have companions. All have companions. And then God says, all right, how do you get to sleep? Takes a rib. Why did he create Eve out of a rib? If he created Adam out of the dust, why did he create Eve out of a rib?
Well, let's not go there. So that you could be beside him all the time.
Out of him, right? And then when Adam wakes up and sees her, what is his response? He does what all good husbands do. When they initially see their wife every day. Breaks out into a spontaneous poem. This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh.
Oh, yeah.
Even the name that she goes by must reflect this oneness, this companionship. The name in Hebrew for man is Ish. And for woman, it's Isha. Ish and Isha, just a feminine ending in Hebrew. We are one. Even the name that reflects her must reflect the fact that we are one. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. Wow! And for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother, be united, and become one flesh. So, man and woman become husband and wife, and they have family. So God gives us a home, a family, marriage. Another great blessing in creation. 4, Genesis 2, 15 to 17. What did he tell Adam to do before he was created?
Take care of the garden.
Take care of the garden, yeah. So he gives us responsibilities and an opportunity to serve and obey what he says, especially with the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Yeah. That's by far the most common question I get in catechism class. Why did God create that tree? Why? Martin Luther called the tree the first church. How does that make sense? What did God tell Adam and Eve?
Okay.
Specifically? Don't eat from that tree. By not eating from that tree, what are Adam and Eve communicating to God?
Obedience.
You are worth it for me. That tree looks like it's got some good fruit, but you're worth it. That's worship. That was the first church. That was how they could worship God. God said, don't do this, or you'll surely die. Okay, I won't. Worship. Sadly, changed in the next chapter. All right, the next section. You have some blanks there, correct? We have 3 minutes. I'll tell you what we'll do. On your own, you can go through and then look at the Bible passages, but we'll kind of fill in the blanks here for you so we can start with lesson 3 next time, too. So God created this world and the rest of the Bible declares that he obviously cares for it. There are some people, they're called deists. Some people claim that the original founding fathers were deists. That may not exactly be particularly true. But a deist is somebody that believes that God created the world with all these laws of nature and everything, kind of spun it into being and kind of left. just kind of let it do its thing, which is why some things are bad, some things are good, right? Just kind of let everything take over, and then he'll eventually come back. We see that the Bible disagrees with that, says that that's not true. So all these passages, you can see, number one, he supplies general needs for all his creatures. He can do that by miracles. Just the blank there. So when he wishes, he can simply make it happen. Evidence of that throughout the scripture, especially with Jesus in his life, feeding the 5,000, all those things he did. Normally, though, God provides for creation by natural means, using things he created. So, gives us food. Clothing is made out of
science.
Some sort of cloth, some sort, right? Leaves. What's that?
Fig leaves.
Fig leaves, yeah, that's right, yeah, was it? Even provided the skin of animals. For Adam and Eve, but yeah, so provides natural means. God also gives special care to his children or believers, so he calls believers his children. He uses his good angels. That's the word there. Angels. Those verses, Hebrews 1:14 and Psalm 91:11, talk about how God uses his good angels to care for his people. And he causes some things? All things, yeah. Romans 8:28. Causes all things to serve our eternal good. So he doesn't want bad for you, he wants good, your eternal good. That's his goal. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him. So how do we respond then for God's care and God's creation and his care as maker and preserver? Number one, we acknowledge that he does this all out of
grace.
Yeah, undeserved love. We define grace as undeserved love. We didn't earn it or deserve it. And therefore, we gladly praise and thank. Yeah, here's your catechism studies coming up. And we also trust him. We trust him as our provider and protector. Lift my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Psalm 121. I love that one. So lesson one, how we know God. Lesson two, what God has revealed to us immediately as our maker and preserver. Next week, we're going to see, sadly, what happened after creation was created perfect. And then we'll get into salvation. That'd be crazy.
We have the Ark Encounter and the Creation Museum next Sunday.
You will. Ark, I'll take some pictures. Yeah. I hear good things about it. It'll be, yeah, it's kind of interesting to see what took Noah 120 years to build. That's fascinating. Yeah, the flood, a big event, especially in creation science, as we talked about evolution. A lot of the explanation for some things you would think have to come from the flood. We don't know for sure. I'll say a prayer then. Father in heaven, our creator, our preserver, we thank you for teaching us about creation. We thank you for teaching us how much you care for us, how much you guide us and protect us and provide for us. Lord, help us appreciate that. Lord, also be with us this week as we come back next week to learn about the number one need that we have, and that's salvation. Today we praise you for that as our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We ask all of your guidance through Jesus the Son's name. Amen. God bless your week. We'll see you next week.